Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Leumi's third quarter 2020 results conference call. All participants are present in a listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded November 17, 2020. With us online today is Mr. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO. I would like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respective company's business, financial condition, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. Such forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, risks in product and technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policies, as well as certain other risk factors which are detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the various securities authorities. A PowerPoint presentation, which is available on the Bink's website, www.binkleumi.co.il, will be used during this conference call. I would now like to turn over the call to Ms. Daphna Golden, VP Investor Relations. Ms. Golden, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for taking the time to join us on this results call of Bank Leumi's financial statements for the first 9 months of 2020 and the third quarter ended September 30, 2020. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO, will be presenting the developments, strategy, and major takeaways from the financial statements. We are joined today by our colleagues, Shlomo Goldfarb, first EVP and Chief Accountant, and Dr. Gil Buffman, Chief Economist. The presentation can be found on the IR section of our website and on the TASE website as well. I'd now like to turn the call over to Omer.
Thank you, Daphna, and good day all. I would like to thank you for joining us to review the Leumi's results. Looking back on the third quarter made me feel as if I was on a roller coaster. We started the quarter with slightly optimistic developments after the lifting of the first lockdown. But after a while, the pandemic spread again, and we ended the quarter with the second lockdown, which deepened the negative economic effects of the pandemic. The new publications about a vaccine early next year indicate that there is light at the end of the tunnel, but at this stage, there are still lots of unknowns along the way. The uncertainty is still vast, and this has had a major impact on our results, mainly through another substantial increase in our credit provision in the third quarter. Having said that, this increase was much lower than it was in the previous quarter. The increase in the credit provision was focused again on the collective provision, so that we will be prepared to cope with possible negative developments in delinquency of payments when the different stimulus plans come to an end. But even with this significant increase in the credit provision, we have been able to record an ROE of 8.4% in Q3 2020 with a CET1 capital ratio of 11.7%, which is not insignificant. I will go into the analysis of the results shortly, but before doing that, I would like to provide an update on the coronavirus pandemic in Israel and select macro-related data. I will start with slide number 3. Following the reopening of the market in late April, the number of new COVID-19 cases started to increase as the second wave began, peaked in early October, and has declined substantially since. Currently, the number of active cases is down to approximately 8,000 from a peak of over 72,000 in early October. In October, the broad unemployment rate reached 20.3%. This includes employees temporarily absent from work due to the coronavirus crisis and those dismissed since March who are not currently part of the workforce. According to the Bank of Israel, this number is expected to improve by the end of the year, with a further substantial decline anticipated by the end of 2021. An international comparison of GDPs in the third quarter of 2020 compared to the final quarter of 2019 shows that Israel's GDP fell by 2.6%, less than that of Germany and the US, which were 4.1% and 4.2% respectively, and similar to the modest decline of the South Korea's GDP. The rate of decline in Spain and the UK of more than 9% was more severe than that of Israel. The latest data includes a 37.9% annualized increase in Q3 GDP in Israel. The surge of the GDP was the result of an across-the-board rebound in demand, and especially that of net external trade. Bank Leumi's forecast for the change in GDP in 2020 is -3.4%, which is a much more moderate decline than that expected for the UK and EU countries. Now, with your permission, I will turn back to the financial results. I'm moving on to the next slide. Before going into the results, I would like to give you a review of the deferrals and payments, the NPL, and the problematic debt. On the right, you can see the deferrals and payments due to COVID-19 as of September 30, 2020. The total payments deferred at the end of September 2020 were 1.2 billion shekels. 30% of the outstanding payment deferrals are related to housing loans to private individuals in which the LTV average ratio based on the date of approval is only 45%. You can also see that approximately 54% of the total debt deferrals have expired and are being paid as required as of September 30. The total debt of which 1.2 billion shekels were deferred amounted to 19.3 billion shekels, of which 48% is composed of housing loans to private individuals. Looking at the list, the NPL ratio has increased only modestly and is still at a low level. It means that at this stage we don't yet see a significant effect of COVID-19 on the NPL. Having said that, we have seen an increase in the troubled debts during the last quarter. The majority of the increase is in special mention debt, the least severe level of troubled debt. Due to the second lockdown and its effects, and due to the fact that numerous measures and stimulus plans are still being put in place by the government and the Bank of Israel, we decided to take a conservative approach and classify a group of debts and specific debts as special mention debts, despite the fact that currently they are meeting their payment terms. The reason is that once the deferrals end and stimulus plans introduced by the government expire, we expect that some of the customers may not be able to pay their debt according to the original terms. Moving on to slide 5. Despite the increase in the special mention debt in the third quarter, the loan loss expense ratio in Q3 was substantially lower than the first two quarters of the year, 0.76% compared to approximately 1.2% in each of the first two quarters of 2020. As in previous quarters, the increase was in collective provision. The increase was caused by classification of debt from non-troubled debt to special mention debt, as I mentioned earlier, and also by increasing the severity of the indicators which the calculation of the collective provision is based on. These indicators relate mainly to the probability of credit failure, which is based on risk levels and economic sectors these customers fall into. We worsened the indicators as a result of the second lockdown during September and October and its possible effects on the economy. Since the beginning of the year, we increased the credit provision by 2.3 billion shekels. 88% of the increase was in the collective provision, mostly in order to deal with the negative developments that we might see in the following quarters. The loan loss provision ratio as a percentage of total debt increased from 1.16% on December 2019 to 1.75% on September 30, 2020. I'm continuing on to slide 6. The ROE in the first 9 months of the year was 4.5%, compared to 9.6% last year after excluding the effect of the sale of Lomical. The reduction in the ROE was materially affected by the increase of 2.3 billion shekels in the credit loss expenses, mainly in the collective provision as discussed earlier, and by the decrease in the non-interest finance income due to the losses in the first quarter. The net interest income decreased by 2.6% compared to last year. The decrease is mainly attributed to the difference in the CPI between the periods. The CPI for the first 9 months of 2020 was minus 0.6%, while the CPI for the corresponding period was a positive 0.5%. If you neutralize the effect of the difference in the CPI between the periods, the net interest income is very similar to last year. The NIM reached 1.92%, a decrease of 23 basis points compared to the first 9 months of 2019 as a result of the difference in the CPI between the periods and as a result of the decrease in the Fed and the Bank of Israel interest rate, The decrease in the interest rate was offset by the increase in the average credit portfolio. The decrease in the non-interest finance line item is mainly related to the losses in the capital market in the first quarter of the year and to derivative and foreign exchange, mainly as a result of the decrease in the non-risk interest rate in the first quarter. I would also like to mention that non-interest finance income for the first 9 months in 2020 includes income before tax of 92 million shekels from the revaluation of Visa US shares, while last year's figures include income before tax of 123 million shekels from the sale of Superfarm and Shva. I will elaborate on fees, commissions, and expenses later in the presentation. I'm moving on to slide 7. The ROE in the third quarter was 8.4%, only 30 basis points lower than last year. This yield was achieved in spite of the increase in the credit loss expenses by 300 million shekels compared to the third quarter last year. The negative impact of the credit loss expenses was offset by an increase in income and a decrease in expenses. The net interest income increased by 5.9% compared to last year. As for the first 9 months, also here, this increase is mainly attributed to the difference in the CPI between the periods. The CPI in Q3 2020 was plus 0.1%, while the CPI in Q3 2019 was a negative 0.7%. The NIM reached 1.29% as for the first 9 months of 2020, a decrease of 11 basis points compared to Q3 2019. This drop is as a result of the decrease in the Fed and the Bank of Israel interest rates, net of the difference in the CPI between the periods. The decrease in the interest rate was offset by the increase in the average credit portfolio. The non-interest finance income was higher than last year and reached 457 million shekels, mainly due to the revaluation of Visa US shares, as I mentioned earlier. Last year, the profit from the sale of Superfarm and Shva was recorded in the first half of the year. I will elaborate on fees, commission, and expenses shortly. Turning to slide 8. Fees and commissions increased in the first 9 months of the year by 1.3% compared to last year and reached 2.5 billion shekels. This increase was driven by an increase in securities transactions and exchange differentials. This was the result of extensive activity mainly in the first quarter of the year. The increase was offset by a decrease in account management fees and financing transactions due to, among other things, a decrease in activity as a result of COVID-19. Fees and commissions in Q3 2020 were 1.5% lower compared to Q3 last year due to the outbreak of the virus in the third quarter, which reduced activity in different areas. Moving on to slide 9. In the first 9 months of 2020, as well as in Q3 2020, we succeeded in reducing the operating expenses and other expenses by approximately 10% compared to last year. The decrease is in salary expenses and in other expenses. The reduction in salary expenses was mainly due to lower provisions for bonuses and the decrease in the number of employees at the end of last year. The reduction in other expenses are in different areas as a result of measures that we took in order to cope with the negative effects of COVID. Also, we should keep in mind that the crisis led to a significant acceleration in digital activity in all segments. The cost-income ratio for the first 9 months of the year has continued to improve and reached 55%. The cost-income ratio for Q3 2020 reached a very low level of 50.4%. This ratio is not indicative and doesn't yet reflect our position since it's affected by the income from the revaluation of Visa US shares and the lower provision for bonuses. I'm turning now to the next slide. As in previous quarters, we have continued to focus our growth in middle market, mortgages, and corporate. In middle market, we increased our credit portfolio by 5.2% compared to last September, in mortgages by 5.8%, and in corporate by 6.4%. At the same time, we have continued to be very cautious in the unsecured retail and with small businesses, which are considered to be riskier segments. I would also like to add that state-backed loans granted in the first 9 months of the year totaled 5 billion shekels, 64% of it to small businesses and the remainder to corporate and commercial customers. The total state-backed loans granted by Leumi year to date was approximately 5.7 billion shekels. Continuing on to the next slide. As of September 30, 2020, deposit by the public reached 427 billion shekels, mainly as a result of the increase in deposits in the first quarter of 2020 due to the transfer of funds from the capital market to deposits. As such, the loan-to-deposit ratio continued to be relatively conservative and reached a level of 67%. I am proceeding now to slide 12. As a reminder, due to the coronavirus, the Bank of Israel decided to reduce the minimum regulatory capital adequacy requirement and the leverage ratio. The instructions will be effective until March 31, 2021, with transition instructions for the 24 months following this date. In accordance with these instructions, the minimum capital requirement from the bank are 9.24% for CET1 and 12.74% for the total capital ratio. The leverage ratio requirement is 5.5%. The Bank of Israel also stated that given the situation, they are expecting banks to reconsider the dividend distribution and the continued implementation of the buyback plan. At this stage, dividend distribution and implementation of the buyback plan are on hold. I'm turning now to slide 13. This slide illustrates our solid capital ratio, CET1 and TCR, and our leverage and liquidity ratios. In all of these, we present ratios much above the minimum requirements. In a year with a severe pandemic and a significant increase in the credit provision of 2.3 billion shekels, it's not a minor achievement. I'm moving on to my final remarks. The results of the third quarter show that we are on the right path. We have been able to increase the income and decrease the expenses relative to last year. We presented an ROE of 8.4% despite credit loss expenses in the quarter of 0.5 billion shekels and despite a strong Tier 1 equity ratio of 11.7%. Of course, we should keep in mind that in parallel to the significant credit loss expenses in Q3, the results were affected positively by visa income and the provision for bonuses. But in the fundamentals, we ended the quarter with significant credit provision of 1.75% of the total credit in order to cope with possible negative development. We have been able to offset the negative effects of the reductions in the interest rates by the increase in the credit portfolio. We have managed to implement our strategy and increase our credit portfolio significantly in mortgages, middle market, and real estate in a year with a negative GDP. And we succeeded in reducing our expenses substantially. All of this, together with yesterday's news about another success in developing a vaccine for the pandemic, give us hope that the light at the end of the tunnel might be even closer than we saw during the last several months. I would like to thank you again for joining us today and to open the line for questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. First, I just wanted to follow up on Omer's comment on the concluding remarks. You mentioned the light at the end of the tunnel and also the fact that the bank ended the quarter quite well with most of the KPIs positive. So just looking at your provisions, can you give us some color on how you see the approach to collective provisions? How do you calculate how you get to that amount? And you know, coming back to the opening remark with the light at the end of the tunnel, would you say that perhaps the level of provision is being overly conservative at the moment?
Hi, Tavi. First, good to hear from you. Very good question. First, after a long period, yes, there is a light at the end of the tunnel because we heard about the news about the succession of the new vaccine, but it will take time. It's not something that is going to happen tomorrow. During that time, anything can happen because the collective the economic situation is mainly led by the health situation. It's not something that I can foresee because we just came back from a second lockdown here in Israel a month ago, and in the last few days, the number of new cases start to rise again. And nobody knows whether we are in front of a third lockdown in a month from now or maybe later. So it's very hard to really forecast and see what will happen in the future because it's mainly based on health parameters and not on economic parameters. Now, with regard to the collective provision, as you mentioned, we increased this provision by 2.3 billion shekels in the first 9 months of 2020. Almost 90% of it is in the collective provision. Now, this increase is based on complicated models with tens of parameters in which we split all the segments to different sectors. In each sector, there is a rank between, let's say, 1 to 5 based on the risk of these sectors. Now we take every customer and also ranking between, let's say, 1 to 12 in order to put him in the right level of risk. We take the macroeconomic parameter, the GDP peso growth, which at this stage is the forecast is much better than it was a month ago. Now, a month ago, the Bank of Israel published two scenarios of GDP to 2020 between minus 5 to minus 6.5, something like that. And now Leumi's forecast GDP to 2020 is only minus 3.4%, because for the last from the last quarter of 2019 till now, the GDP is only I'm saying, but it's only minus 2.6%. So there is also macroeconomic parameter, there is unemployment parameter. So it's very complicated model in which we try to forecast the development in the future. Now what we did, the vast majority of this increase in the collective provision was made in order to cope with negative development that didn't happen yet. I mentioned through the presentation that in this quarter, based on the second lockdown, we decided to classify more group of customers to group that called special mention debt, which we group of customers that in usual business we are not classifying them as special mention debt, because we expect that after all these stimulus plans come to an end, there will be a group of the customers, we don't know exactly which, because we're just making a forecast, but part of our customers will not be able to pay as usual. So I think, you know, you will see lots of numbers when the other banks will publish their financials, and I can share with you that the number, there is a wide range of best estimates forecasts. We try to guess what will happen in the future. It's not easy, and we will have to be patient and wait a few quarters, and then we will know whether we've been too conservative, or it might be the other way. Maybe we need more credit loss expenses, but we will have to be patient. As in previous years, you know Leumi for a long period. We took the conservative approach in our calculation.
Great, that's very helpful. And the last one for me on cost. So your 9 months figure on salaries basically show a 15% decrease year over year. So obviously some of it is due to the fact that you haven't paid high bonuses this year. But I guess if you were to normalize that, perhaps looking into 2021, when you factor in some of the early retirements and natural retirement, when you factor all of that in, what kind of expense decrease shall we see for the salary line?
Well, as you mentioned, the major part of the decrease is related to the lower provision for bonuses due to the pandemic. But part of it, and not a minor part, is related to the streamlining process that we are doing every year. And as you remember, last December, 450 employees left Leumi. So the effect of that is also in these numbers. So if you want to make this calculation, I don't have the number in front of me, but in the yearly financial, there are data about the average cost of employee in Leumi, and you can do the calculation and see what part of it is came from the decrease, the drop in our employee numbers, and the other part is the, as you mentioned, the provision for loss. So looking forward to 2021, part of it is permanent because of the decrease in our employees, and part of it is related to the bonus provision. I can share with you that in this year, as in previous years, you should also expect for another decrease in our employee numbers till the end of the year.
Great. Thanks for everything, and congrats on the strong results.
Thank you. Keep safe.
You too.
The next question is from Michael Goldberg of Excellence. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much. Great results, first of all, congratulations. A couple of questions to follow up. First of all, I was just wondering, regarding your provision levels and reserves. It looks like your current reserves are around 1.7% of your loan book. That compares slightly lower than U.S. and U.K. European peers, which are closer to 2%. Do you think that the 1.7 is lower than that and you should see higher numbers, or Israeli banks, or Leumi specifically, is pretty much comfortable at these reserve levels?
Hi, Micha. Good evening. I will say like that. First, I would like to speak about Leumi, with your permission. And I think when I look at the 1.75% that you mentioned, provision for loan book, and when I compare it to other banks, it really first depends on the mix of the portfolio. In Bank Leumi, as you know, about, 30% or even more of our loan books is related to mortgages, in which the risk is much, much lower than in other segments. Also, we have a relatively high portfolio in real estate with very strong securities. So it really depends on the mix of the portfolio, and also for the appetite for risk that you have taken. In Bank Leumi, for example, in the last 3 years, we are at the same level, or even decreased a little bit, our unsecured retail portfolio and the small business portfolio. So I would say that roughly 1.75% is a high level. And as I mentioned through the presentation, it can vary because, you know, we're just trying to guess what will happen in the future, you know, based on the very, very complicated model. But I feel that we, as usual, took the conservative approach.
Okay, thank you very much. Another question regarding what you mentioned. You said, you know, almost 90% of all your provisions year to date have been statistical group provisions. And I'm just wondering, you're not seeing any major deterioration in NPLs, it's only up slightly. So I'm just wondering, when do you expect to see any NCO formation coming through? Is that only likely to happen later this year, or you think only in 2021, or even later than that?
Okay. I think we will start to see deterioration in our borrower and transferring of group of borrower from to impair debt when some of the stimulus plans come to an end, when the deferrals come to an end. Now we know where there are deferrals and unemployment payments and intervention of the Bank of Israel in the capital market and a lot of the things that were published. There are lots of, there is a long list. It's very hard to see what really happened. I expect that when this plans come to an end, we will start to see more classifications of debt to impair debt. The impact, the part that will be classified, is really depends on what will happen from now. If, for example, from now, you know, the economy will open, will act like in these days, in which most of the sector reopen again. We are in one scenario. If there will be a third lockdown, you know, there are lots of business which survive the first lockdown, the second lockdown. They may not survive the third lockdown. So it can go to all directions. We should be patient, as I mentioned, and wait maybe 2 quarters, 3 quarters, and see what's going on.
Okay, thank you very much. Another question, you mentioned about your cost coming down very nicely. And I was just wondering, I mean, you obviously have done a lot of cost efficiency and early retirement schemes in previous years, but it looks like in 2020, you're one of the only banks who have yet to do anything. Is this something that's being considered? Is this something that could be optimal for you guys, or you know, or have you done almost everything that you can when it comes to cost cutting and early retirement?
Okay. First, we didn't declare. You're right that in this year we didn't declare about the MU efficiency plan, like we did in previous years, not in every year, but in most of the previous years, but we can streamline also without a declared efficiency plan. And as I pointed out earlier, you can assume like that in previous years in which we've been able to reduce our employee numbers, you can assume that it will happen also in 2020. Maybe not in the same amount, but you will see a reduction in our employees. And the question that you raise is always on the table. We consider it, and now when we will have something to announce, we will announce about it. But it's always on the table.
Okay, thank you. Now I noticed that your deposits increased significantly. You mentioned that in your presentation, and it seems like most of this is sitting really in cash deposits in the central bank and other banks. And I was just wondering, you know, at what point in time will you consider to put that cash to work in order to generate a little higher returns?
Okay, very good question. First, you are right. The vast majority of our investment portfolio is in deposits in the Bank of Israel and government bonds. Only small part of it is really in real investment. But we are very cautious in this area. We are also it's not only up to us. It's the banking system in Israel is very conservative, and we try to focus our activity in the traditional activity of banks, and just a very small part of it in investment. It's a question that we put on the table, and currently you're completely right. The vast majority is in cash and in Israel government bond, and it's potential if we will decide to increase even a little bit the risky portfolio, there is a potential for higher yield. You're right.
Okay, great. Now, I saw just a couple of days ago that the Bank of Israel decided not to postpone the implementation of CECL in 2022, and I was just wondering if you have any early estimates and what the impact would be, and is anything of that mitigated by the fact that you guys have provided significantly forward-looking in 2020?
Well, it's too early to share with you the figures that we have, because there is still lots of things that under negotiation. There are no clear rules about how we have to measure different areas. It seems like in the unsecured retail, it might be that based on the let's put aside the special provision that we put for the pandemic, but for usual way of business, it seems like for example, in the unsecured retail, we might increase the provisions, but in mortgages, we might have too much. But the pandemic, you know, changed on the numbers and puts lots of buffer above them. So it's really early to give you any numbers. It will not be responsible at this stage.
Okay, thank you. And maybe two more general questions for you or for Gil. You know, I saw the Bank of Israel published just a couple of days ago their semi-annual research piece in which they did a stress test. And in that stress test, which was done in May, they said that if a second lockdown would come down, they expect that the banks would probably have to record net losses for at least one quarter, maybe up to a year. And I was just wondering, since we're now after the second lockdown, you know, how do you understand that stress test? You know, is that something that we should be concerned about, or is there something wrong, or something that some assumptions that the Bank of Israel took that are not likely to have happened in the second lockdown?
Hi, Micha. It's Gil Buffman here. I'll talk more about the macro story that the Bank of Israel has been presenting, not only in the stress scenarios, but also you probably remember that on the 22nd of October, when they had the interest rate publication, the monetary policy publication, they also came out with their latest forecast, which now, with the benefit of additional knowledge, the third quarter GDP numbers, and more importantly, the weekly numbers that you can see on the Bank of Israel website regarding mobility, regarding credit card usage, regarding electricity usage, a very wide set of indicators, it appears very clearly that the drop in economic activity in the second lockdown was far less severe than in the first lockdown. So it does seem like there's a lot of learning as we go and move through this. And maybe initially there was a bit too much pessimism built into some of these simulations and views. And now with the benefit of the data, we seem to see that reality is not as bad as the early expectations. It doesn't mean that we're through this, because I do expect to see a drop in GDP in the fourth quarter, reflecting the earlier part of the fourth quarter being a lockdown period, but not as severe, not even close to the degree of severity that we saw in the second quarter with a big drop. And as Omer noted earlier on, all in all for the full year, taking into account the knowledge that we have so far, the drop that we see in GDP, which does take into account a further drop in the fourth quarter, though a modest one, is rather small compared to the Bank of Israel's forecasts that were published in late October. So that's more on the macro side, and given these very large uncertainties as far as macro forecasting at the moment, I do think that that also spills over to the ability to say something really concrete about the performance of the banking system if you get a macro picture which is completely different, or not completely, which is not as bad as you assumed initially. So that's much more from a macro point of view.
Okay, so bottom line is the parameters they use seem to be a little bit out of whack. So I mean, just to follow on that, if we see a third lockdown, Ken, saying
sure.
that the second lockdown was much yep. less imperative to the banking sector, if there's a third lockdown coming down at the end of the year, is that likely to be even less negatively impacted, or that might be a different scenario?
Well, I would like to hope so for several reasons. The first one is that there appears to be a learning curve, and as we move from lockdown to lockdown, we tend to see that there is some learning, and the lockdowns do not have to be as heavy-handed as they were initially. They're lighter lockdowns, they're more differential, and they don't have that much of a negative economic impact. In addition, it's not only the learning from doing, or the learning from the experience of the previous lockdowns, it also has to do with the latest developments. And I'm not talking about the vaccine yet. I'm first of all talking about more and more testing, the emergence of rapid testing that would enable more and more segments of the economy to open up, provided that people taking part in those activities would be tested and possibly with a rapid test. And also we're seeing the emergence of more and more therapeutics that are helping the healthcare system to deal with people who have fallen ill, and possibly reducing the percentage of people who become critically ill, and therefore less burden on the healthcare system, and therefore less need for heavy-handed lockdowns. So with all of this happening and progressing, my hope is that if there is a third lockdown, it will not be as severe as the second one, and obviously much less severe than the first one. And there we go from episode to episode with less negative impact on growth. So even if we do take a scenario for next year, 2021, that does not include a return to activity and does take into account further lockdowns, even then, I believe that we're still talking about a positive GDP number. And if you want to use the Bank of Israel's number, I mean, even if they had the low forecast, which they called something like unable to control the virus, even then they had a positive number, a low one, but a positive number. So I do think that there is something that is happening in the direction of less severity from lockdown to lockdown.
Thank you very much, Gil, and thank you very much, Omer. It definitely sounds positive, and the light for the end tunnel might be closer. Congratulations on a good set of results. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Micha. Good evening.
The next question is from Jordan Heimowitz of Philadelphia Financial. Please go ahead. If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. This concludes Leumi's third quarter 2020 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.